Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
There's only three things I know on this bitch of an earth. The PS5 is
wickedly talented.
The McRib is
yeah.
And you're listening to Hey Fam.
I'm vibing out. This is huge. This is our pet sounds.
Hey Fam, welcome to Hey Fam. It's me, Andrew Levins. Joining me, would you believe it, Angus Truscott.
Boku no namayawa Angus des.
Oh wow, he's been vision pilled.
I've been weed pilled.
He stayed up all night watching every single episode of Star Wars Visions, the new anime series on Disney Plus, the first Japanese content, unless you count all of the 90s animated Winnie the Pooh episodes.
I mean, and we do.
Yeah, we do. My favorite anime. Actually, a bunch of those Saturday morning cartoons are actually anime because
that's right.
They were animated by TMS. But for many years...
But I digress. That is our Patreon's Patreon.
we got anime Disney back in a big way for Star Wars Visions. And you've binged all of them. I've watched four of them. We'll be talking about them today. I'm not ready to rank them all yet, but you better believe I'll be ranking them all next week. And
I'd love to see you rank them now just based on the thumbnail. I think that would be a
Okay.
I actually think that's a cool idea.
Before we get into Star Wars Visions, we're actually less than 24 hours away. We're recording on a Thursday morning, 8 a.m. And our good friends over at Nintendo.
Speaking of anime.
They just announced the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, so I guess we can...
In 24 hours time.
I guess that you and I can just, you know, marinate on that, predict what's going to happen, and then ultimately be disappointed when it's a Wii game that not even Nintendo remembered being remastered. But the good thing about this
sold,
is you and I...
Being sold for $20 more than it was when it was on Wii.
Oh, of course. It's that $20 no HD tax. Yeah. But, you know, this is great because you and I get two hits of the content reefer, so to speak, because we can do the predictions and then the ultimate disappointment. You know, that's a good thing about it. It's like we work in tandem with Nintendo with these things.
They know. They know how we work. And they yeah,
Reggie,
they want to
Reggie, big Hey Fam head, you know? He's not there anymore, but he was a big
Every day
Hey Fam
I miss
head.
Him. So
oh, I themed out the mug for this based on last week's as well.
Oh, wow. You're celebrating 9/11.
No, I'm remembering it. You don't celebrate
remembering
it.
9/11.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Oh, shit. I've been doing this all wrong. You're remembering it on the 23rd of September. Very good stuff.
I mean, given, you know, leap years that we've had in between then, daylight savings, clock changes, this could actually really be 9/11.
Well, that actually ties into my first prediction for the Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get, Mario... Mario in September 11.
Remember that game Mario is missing?
Yeah.
It'd be good if Mario was... Luigi was a first responder and Mario was actually just crunching some numbers in the World Trade Center 1. And it was, you know, through the embers and everything, just a real... I don't know, I think it'd be nice to see like a kid's video game help explain trauma.
You actually play as Seth MacFarlane and you and your best friend Mario wake up and you're about to get on a flight.
Well, that actually reminds me of another anime, speaking of Seth MacFarlane, one that you sent me last night, a Chinese cartoon that I didn't...
The more important animated animated short to come out in the last day. Unfortunately, not on Disney Plus.
Not on Disney Plus.
I think All of Family Guy is on there, but the latest from Family Guy, all our friends over at Family Guy.
All our friends at Cleveland Show Enterprises, American Dad Pty Ltd. comes, you know, at the top of that chain is, the alphabet to Google is Family Guy Inc. And yeah, I unfortunately didn't watch it. There was 3 minutes that I could have...
Oh my God, you didn't watch it?
Well, no, it was that or watch Visions.
Yeah, I mean, I know where my faith lies.
Well, look, I'm a fake anime fan. We all know that. You're the real anime head.
Yeah, I had to, because even though I'm double vaccinated, I know that if I was in it, I have a lot of questions. And even as that second needle was going into my arm, I was like, there's some unanswered questions that I have here that I feel like the only person who I would trust in this world is Stewie and Brian Griffin.
And Peter Griffin, of course.
So the family guy himself. For those of us who are, like, you know, yet to be convinced that the vaccination is necessary,
yeah.
Family Guy tweeted a 4-minute-long animated video in which Peter Griffin is having his doubts as he sits on the doctor's table. I'm about to get his vaccination. He's, like, asking all these questions. So Stewie and Brian shrink themselves down and go inside Peter's body to explain to the audience for a solid 3 minutes what the vaccines do and why they're important.
Wow. I mean, again, 2021 is full of surprises.
Yeah. And like, I think it's a noble thing that.
But did you all of a sudden just want to suck that vaccine straight out of your bloodstream?
Yeah. I was like, oh, man, if Stewie's vaccinated, what? I don't want to be vaccinated.
I don't want a fucking egghead British accent. It's like the side.
Well, I actually remembered when I got my first and second jab, the first thing I immediately said after that needle came out of my mom's arm was, victory is mine.
Yeah. I just wanted to kill my mother. I mean,
yeah,
you know, seems normal.
Who is, like, the audience for that, where they're, like, you're, like, as in, like, vaccine skeptic but huge Family Guy fan?
Oh, it's called Middle America. It's, like, it's not... It's very obvious who... It's, like...
Yeah.
A real big chunk of the old United States. Who too, have been remembering a certain date?
One of my lowest points of last year was when one of my lowest points of last year was actually when one of our heroes, the real life Peter Griffin, who cosplays as Peter Griffin, actually he lost his mother and got COVID.
Well, maybe this video is a response to real life Peter Griffin getting COVID. You know, maybe this is just the trajectory of Family Guy lore. And, you know, much like Star Wars Visions, it's real life culture inspiring the art that was inspired by the, you know, it's like this real Peter Life Griffin is actually the Star Wars Visions for Family Guy. And maybe that's Family Guy taking back what happened, you know, the culture that they borrowed from. I like to think that real life Peter Griffin was first, and then Family Guy, the animated series, takes from it and makes its own.
Of course.
Yeah, I think that's kind of nice.
Seth MacFarlane, instead of getting on the flight that crashed into the Twin Towers, actually got in a time machine, went forward in time, saw the TikToks of real life Peter Griffin.
Yep.
And thought, wow, I could make this an animated series.
Yeah.
Went back in time and created Family Guy.
One thing for the canon heads out there, is there any rhyme and reason why they shrink down? Is this canon? Like, is Peter Griffin being vaccinated canon, or is this just a PSA? Like, perhaps in the Family Guy main timeline, he's not vaccinated, you know?
Right, so they can do all these jokes again.
Like, Loki vibes. Audience. Yeah, yeah, maybe there's a vaccinated... Peter Griffin and unvaccinated Peter Griffin.
I didn't watch it, but have you seen the South Park vaccination special?
No, I've got to though. Now that we have Paramount Plus,
they're famously very brave for always insinuating that actually both sides are bad.
They were the first to do that. Actually,
have they both? Do you know? Do they both sides the vaccination argument?
No, it's more about QAnon, I think. I think it's more about the... It's like vaccination special, but I think one of the words is spelt with a Q and an A. I think
yeah, South Park instead of a K, it's a Q.
I think it's more about the conspiracies surrounding vaccination.
Okay.
I'm certain that it is not misinformation regarding vaccines, but more probably...
I don't know with those guys, man.
More how both sides would probably weaponize, you know. I doubt it has anything to do with health and more to do with the politics surrounding both sides of vaccine, much like the entire world's rollout has been. It has not been a health issue, sadly. It has been politics, as I sip from my 9/11 memorial coffee mug.
Well, I'm looking forward to Family Guy, the vaccination PSA being announced tomorrow for Switch, the video game version.
Yeah, it's a text adventure. $70 to read
the script of the PSA on your Switch on the go whenever you like.
Yeah, you can date either Brian or Stewie, so either way you're fucked. It's pedophilia or bestiality. Congratulations.
And you can connect to the Nintendo Voice Chat app and you and your friends can read out the different parts from the from the PSA.
But not only do you need to change exchange friend codes, you need to exchange COVID vaccine proof of vaccination. And also your parents must be sitting next to either of you, despite your age, holding your hand the entire time you're using the app and the Switch itself. And it only works in the Family Guy doc.
Yes, and the Family Guy doc, the existence of it on the Switch actually negates something they announced last week. They're actually taking away the Bluetooth headphone functionality.
Also, the OLED model is only a fun Family Guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's now known as the Brian model. and it actually they're putting Brian's collar around it.
Yeah, because you can't take that off. No, you can't take it off. If you do, you lose Bluetooth audio capability.
And also, unvaccinated Peter Griffin is being announced as the final Smash character.
Yeah, and next year is the year of Stewie. We've had year of Luigi. The reason why we're not celebrating Zelda or Metroid in any rhyme or reason is because it's the year of Stewie.
Yeah, we're celebrating 2 days since the Family Guy PSA has been dropped.
And what they'll be doing is deleting every game of NES and SNES online and replacing it both with Balloon Fight with a crudely animated sprite of Stewie Griffin as one of the balloons.
And it's called Bastoon Fight.
Yeah, and that's it. That's all you get. you are grateful.
Have a guess which character they use to represent the virus. Like the coronavirus in Family Guy.
The pedophile? PSA.
No.
Or Quagmire.
Meg.
Oh, okay.
Meg.
So not the person who has sex with kids or the sexual predator. Two bad things.
I haven't watched Family Guy in a long time. Maybe she has sex with children now too.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. There's a child in the house. There's a higher chance of it happening with her than, say, me. There's no children in this house.
What do you reckon? Final Smash character, you know, who do you want? What do you think it could be?
Master Chief, obviously. Sam Porter Bridges.
Oh, from Death Stranding. Yeah, I remember when they put the dude from Persona, Joker.
Yeah,
not my Joker.
Joaquin Phoenix and alternate skin, Heath Ledger and Jared Leto.
All the Jokers.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah, that'd be good. Including that guy that used to dress up as the Joker for a hot year in California.
Oh, yeah, Santa Barbara Joker.
Santa Barbara Joker. Whatever.
San Jose Joker. He was great. I've not seen a cancellation happen faster when someone found him like on Twitch saying the N-word.
In his defense, he was gaming.
I was going to say, it is amazing that like... anyone who's a personality, there is such a higher chance of them saying the N-word on Twitch than not. It's just like, as soon as you sign up, I don't know what it is. It's just, it must be really easy to say stuff like that on there. Like, something must just, I don't know, enter your bloodstream, a la Stewie and Brian, enable you to say these ghastly things.
There's this big rumor that Nintendo have patented... the Nintendo 64 controllers wirelessly.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to be part of the announcement. We'll be able to play Nintendo 64 games on Nintendo Switch Online again.
Okay, something that they've done 20 years ago on the Wii. All right. Awesome. But yeah, I really need that Nintendo 64 controller to play Mario 64 as evidenced by the 3D collection. Like, whatever. It's so stupid. Man. I'm so disappointed in Nintendo this year.
You're already disappointed and we haven't even, like, predicted something that might happen.
I just don't know. Like, yeah, I really don't know. We're almost 5 years into this console and we got Bluetooth last week. It's like, I really don't know what. While I respect that power move, it just renders me, like, useless to predict what could happen.
What about final Smash character, Aonuma, the director of Legend of Zelda,
and
all of his attacks are apologizing for Breath of the Wild 2 being delayed.
All of his attacks are Zelda explaining how Skyward Sword is actually kind of better than getting Breath of the Wild 2 because it is the inspiration for parts of Breath of the Wild. I still love that. That to me is just like the fucking galaxy brain Nintendo Direct releasing a product. Apologizing for one that you wanted not coming and handing you one that caused the one you love to be created because of how maligned it was. It's like, I'm like, is that to me that, I mean, that is essentially negging, isn't it? Like, they
absolutely
were like,
yeah,
here's the one that you didn't like, just again, it actually cost more this time. And we didn't change the controllers. It is the same.
That's his final smash, is he adds an extra $10 to a Wii game.
No, the final Smash, you can only... it actually introduces a quality of life improvement, but you need to pay for a $30 amiibo that sells out immediately to activate it. Yeah, man, I honestly don't know. Like, it's like, I don't know what to expect. Like, I'm now at the point where in this last year of Directs, I'm like, it could be they're releasing another clock. It could be they delete a game that they kind of forced me to buy in a three-month window. Like, I really don't know, man. They're fucking insane. They might release a new version of a console 4 years in with zero improvements over the original except a screen. Like, no battery, no processor, nothing. Like, yeah, I really don't know. In fact, I wonder if the Switch OLED model has Bluetooth, or that's going to be another 4 years until they introduce that one. I really don't know. I mean, I love Nintendo, but damn, we got a rocky relationship with them.
It's also been, like, more than any other week this year, the week where there have been just so many video games released.
So we got Death Stranding's coming out again, and I feel like we barely went into lockdown when the other one came out the first time. It's crazy.
It was 2019 Death Stranding came out, right?
November, yeah. Summer. Like 4 months before.
In the last week, we've gotten Deathloop, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then so many good indie games. Eastwood, are you going to go on that?
On Switch? Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful.
I'm only going to get it when there's a four-month, like, playable window, like Mario 35.
Yeah, it's like a 30-hour indie game. It's pretty long for an indie. Toem came out, which is a genuine small game. It's like photography. Toem, T-O-E-M. It's really good. I reviewed it on all the small games this week.
What's it on? Switch?
Switch, and I think it's on and PlayStation as well, and Steam. Skatebird came out. There's a new Humble Bundle game.
What's
called
Skatebird?
Flynn, Son of Crimson. It's a you're not a squid or a kid.
I'm not interested.
You're a bird and you skate.
Okay, yeah. Tom's on Switch, Tom. PlayStation 5. Is it good?
It's like a really sweet, calm game. Like, you know, it's a game. Where you gotta walk around different. Like Norwegian-inspired areas.
Oh, Norway. No, I'm out.
And maybe it's not Norway.
No, I'm
like
joking.
Swedish.
I was just like, right, being like racist.
Scandinavian. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. It's on PS5 and Switch. That's crazy that it's not PS4. You know how a lot of these indie games go to PS4?
Oh, right.
Looks like you got the inferior version.
Oh yeah, man! I'm devastated. I couldn't play the.
Look at those black and white pixels. Imagine that in 4K.
The 4K black and white isometric indie game. I finished it with the kids yesterday, and we had a really good time. It's really sweet. Great music too. Yeah. And then Toby Fox dropped Deltarune Chapter 2 for free.
Yeah, I saw that. It's on. Last week. It's just on computer at the moment, right?
It is on computer. Yes.
I don't know. Is that what you call it? What do you want me to say? It's on gaming, like, decks. I don't know what people call them.
I mean, I guess the CNPC stands for computer, so you're right. It just was, sounded funny.
I'm not a computer gamer.
It's on computer.
I'm not Henry Cavill. I'm fucking console boy, you know?
I wish there was a celebrity. Yeah, you're not Henry Cavill. You're Brie Larson. She's the most famous console gamer.
Yeah, exactly. She invented console gaming.
They even put a new Castlevania game on Apple Arcade last week.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. You can sync your like PS5 or Xbox controller to your Apple TV and play it that way.
Brother, I've moved my Apple TV to my my monitor out here in my office. Got an Xbox controller, and that's what I've been doing.
Oh, cool.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for the support.
Well, you could always just get it on computer, but I guess you're not cool. Is Undertale... what's it called?
Deltarune.
Deltarune. Is that coming to, like, Switch again?
Well, the first one did for free. Apparently, he plans to make 3, 4, and 5, the chapters that you pay for. But, I mean, he's definitely making a shitload of money off Undertale. But it's crazy that for him to release, like, two, like, lengthy chapters of an RPG for free.
Mm. Kind of like how we release... You're a madman. 400 plus episodes of a podcast for free. Oh, maybe 200 plus. 300, I don't know.
Who knows? But we want to talk about Deathloop because that's a game that came out last week. And you rolled credits on it last night, right?
I'm about to right now. I was playing it before we recorded. It was Star Wars Visions or Finish Deathloop.
Okay. I mean, the two genders.
Yeah.
Sophie's choice. Deathloop is the big PlayStation 5 exclusive that came out this month, produced by Arkane Studios. I've never played any Arkane game before, have you?
No, I've played arcade games and computer games, but I've not played Arkane games. But what's that? Dishonored and some other one? Prey?
Prey, yep.
No, I've not. I don't. I would be interested, though, after this. I'll say that much.
Published by Bethesda Studios, one of the two Bethesda games that are coming out on PlayStation 5, and while every other Bethesda thing is locked to the Xbox. You have to imagine like the marketing department being forced to work on these games. It must just be weird.
Yeah.
In the Bethesda office kind of pushing this these games. I mean, but the funny thing is like Deathloop is like one of the best reviewed games of the year. I think the best reviewed AAA game of the year, that's for sure. Getting lots of nines and tens.
It's great. I've been loving it. It reminds me of like Tarantino and Chris Nolan fucked and made a game.
Wow.
Well, you've kind of got
that's the lamest thing you've ever said.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I was saying it just underneath my Scarface poster where he's sitting on a table with a lot of like cocaine. No, but it reminds me of like, you know, the commitment to like a alternate 1960s a la Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay,
but
yep.
Also the high concept kind of factor to it where once you get it, you're like, oh, this is really fun. Like Tenet or like Inception. And yeah, no. So let me retread that. It does remind me of like a mix of both of those people. Like, but executed so well. Like, the acting, the dialogue is so fucking good in that.
Yeah, it's a very highly polished game, that's for sure. Like, yeah, and I was worried after, like, you know... I mean, it's been a hard year for me to play anything because of being trapped at home with the kids with me all the time. And I was worried that, Returnal, Deathloop was going to be one of those games where, you know, you have to repeat the same shit a lot of the time. But this is not a roguelike game, even though you are looping... every time you die,
it's
you
very
go back
Majora's
to
Mask.
Your base,
yeah. Especially the 3DS version, where you get the like the bomber's notebook or whatever, where it kept like diaries of where people would be at certain times and what actions people had. I mean, while this is more handholdy and probably because for accessibility reasons, like Majora's Mask is famously not that accessible for a lot of players. Mm-hmm. It's quite a difficult game to play, but this is a yeah, you know, I find it also another... That's the other third one I meant to say. It's like also if my Miyamoto came... Aoyama came in there and just apologized while coming on top of Chris Nolan and Karen Tarantino just for the most... Karen Tarantino. Just for the most apologetic nut bust ever. you know?
Yeah, and I was also concerned, like, I'm not good at first-person shooters, but I've played, like, 2 hours of this.
I forgot that you didn't play 7 Halo games, and that's me.
I mean, that's the only difference between you and me. Yeah. Oh, that's how you tell us apart.
I've been successful in my bid to play the Halo Infinite Beta this weekend.
You are the Infinite Beta.
Yeah, I am. And it feels great.
Though, so that'll be your 8th Halo game. I'm fucking proud of you, man. That's amazing. It's just in less than 3 months.
It's just the multiplayer.
Still.
Yeah.
Technically, it's an 8th Halo game in less than 3 months for you. Yeah, what have you done this
year? Nothing. Obviously.
So yeah, you were ready. You were ready for Deathloop. I was like, you know, that, oh shit, it's a first player game. I'm not good at these, but I'm not. I haven't died. Like, you get three lives, kind of like the first two times you die, you kind of get put back a little bit further in the level, and you can have another stab at the area that you just died in. But I've never had a game over screen or a proper death loop. I find it pretty forgiving in terms of you can just run around with a machete, and even if there's like 5 people shooting at you, if you just run around and hack at them, it's really easy to kill them.
Yeah, they get tougher later, and you can get, yeah, you the trinkets are sick. You kind of like max yourself out and your weapons out with vibes and your slabs, your powers, which is fun. You can like switch places with people. You can like look at somebody, touch them, and then you two switch places and stuff.
Yeah, at the moment, like I keep getting guns and going like, oh, pretty good, but then I'm like, oh, but I have a machete and I can kick really well, so maybe I'll just use that instead.
Yeah, I've got a really nice collection of silenced weapons, so I'm doing a lot of. I've got this invisibility perk, and I've perked it up so like it doesn't drain my power while I'm standing still. So I just like get in a room, go invisible, and snipe people. So shoot them and no one can hear it.
Yeah,
it's really sick.
So it definitely encourages you to play this stealthily, which is cool.
Parts.
I feel like,
yeah.
Okay, I mean you've played more of it, but what I've played
I'll
far,
take your 2 hour take instead of my one. I think that's probably like your half listened to Drake take. I like your takes.
Why don't I turn my mic off for 5 minutes and you can tell us about Deathloop then?
No, I'm gonna wait till you finish it.
Why don't you tell us which other played out directors it reminds
Martin you of? Martin Scorsese, and it has the gangstability of Martin Scorsese, and the charming allure of Tig Notaro in a Zack Snyder film.
I can play anything.
I can loop anything.
Yeah, how is it, what do you like, you know, as far as like new games that came out in 2021, have you got like a top 3 in your head? Is it in
Skyward
there?
Sword, Mario Sunshine, and Mario 64.
Wait, was that this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're all this year.
Last year.
I thought you said games that were deleted this year and games released this year. Dude, how funny is it that those Mario games you just can't get anymore? That cracks me up. I really like Deathloop. That's been like, I don't know, that's been a real fucking cool time. Just like, you know, even from the haptic controller, like it's really a game that, you know, also Rift Apart, I guess. Like I'm guessing we're back. These big AAAs have been tight.
Yeah. I enjoyed Rift Apart as a pure, like, you know, turn my brain off entertainment level. I don't think like as a game it's like
one of my
favorites of the year, whereas this I can definitely see becoming that. I love that there's a so there's an option when you start playing, you can destroy the loop as Colt, the main guy that you play as, and then later once you've gotten past a certain point in the game, you can maintain the loop,
protect the loop, you play as Juliana,
protect the loop,
yeah. Which is, you and invade Juliana, other people's games and fuck them up.
Yeah, but Juliana is a character who communicates with you, and her voice comes out of the controller.
It's awesome.
Which is very cool. And I would be playing more of this. Normally I would be like staying up late playing it with headphones and at nighttime, but I kind of don't want to lose the effect of her voice blaring out of the controller. So I've only been playing when I have the house to myself.
Well, if you have headphones on, it doesn't come out of the controller.
No, I want that though. I love that.
Oh,
I think it's so
okay.
Weird and cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because cool. you have a thing called a hackamajig.
Very cool.
Which is, yeah. that's something only the twisted mind of Karen Tarantino could come
Karen,
up with.
Karen, Taran, Christopher, Eno.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm jealous that you've been able to fucking almost finish it in a week.
Hey, I'm jealous sometimes that lockdown... you have little versions of you living in the world to secede your, you know, your very being. But, you know, we all make choices.
who are old enough now to send you emails.
Yeah, I wrote back to him last night.
Oh, good. He honestly, if you take longer than an hour, he's like, Dad, Angus isn't writing back to my email.
It's so funny because I'm rewatching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I literally, the day Archie emailed me is the episode where the young girl starts texting Larry. And he's like, writes back, he's like, I'm an adult, I do not watch Wizards of Waverly Place. And it's just like, it's so funny. She's like emailing him asking, do you watch Wizards? And I was like, this is literally a episode. Your son emailing me. And maybe he'll just being like,
he'll like, because he has like six people's email addresses, like most of their family members and you. And he'll like, Dad, can I use the computer? And then he'll be like, oh, no one emailed me back. And then I'll look at his sent. And the only thing he sent them was like the sunglasses emoji, like 50 times. And like, yeah, of course no one wrote back to that, Archie. What do you want them to say?
That rules. That's really funny.
Like, he thinks emojis are so funny. Like, he thinks that nothing is more entertaining to him than just spamming every emoji possible in a message thread.
Sable's out today as well. Speaking of video games.
Were we? Yeah, no, I'm definitely keen for that. Fuck.
Same. I played the demo.
I mean, like, and Kena Bridge of Spirits just hit PlayStation 5 as well. I'm pretty interested in that.
Oh,
one as
yeah.
Well.
It looks like a mini Zelda meets Tomb Raider vibe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. And then also 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim that came out last year is like 70% off on the PlayStation Store.
Wait, what's it called?
I always wanted to give that a
shot. Oh, 13 Sentinels 13 Aegis Rim. Yeah, Sentinels. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So like too many games, too much family.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
But just the right amount of Family Guy, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now that I know that Peter Griffin is going to survive the next year. How funny would it be if the end of the PSA was Peter Griffin dying, refusing the vaccine and then dying?
Or him becoming autistic and just like red pilling, just being like, yeah, the vaccine causes autism. And he gets big balls like Nicki Minaj's cousin or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's revealed that he is Nicki Minaj's cousin. That's who he was talking about.
Yeah, the Road to Trinidad. About. You know how they have those episodes? It's like... So, 13 Sentinels is like a turn-based, right?
I'm not sure. I think it's like a crazy Japanese action game, I thought.
Hey, speaking of crazy Japanese action...
Super Mario 64 was deleted from the Switch eShop in March 2021.
Yeah, I'm going to cross out the 9/11 on my mug and write the date the Mario 3D collection was removed. Just, man, that
How
is
funny
fucking crazy. I think about that at least weekly. Just like, the Bluetooth, yeah, that, they're such neggers. Like, they neg the player. They're like, oh, you
bro,
like
did you just put Twitch on?
Sorry, ninjas over here. No, but it's just like, you know, they just neg you. Like, it's like they've read the game, that dating book, and they're just like doing anything they can to be like, oh, you like Mario, huh? Fuck, fine then. I don't anymore. Deleted it. Oh, you like Breath of the Wild? Oh, here you go. Here's the game that forced us to make it because no one liked it. It's just like fucking bonkers behavior.
We haven't mentioned the Mario 64 Lego set that they announced last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been chatting about it with your son. He asked me if I would be getting it. Literally. So, sorry.
What did you tell him?
If I mistook that for Hey Fam.
You know? Oh, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, deja vu.
He told me he's definitely getting it. I don't know if that's news for you or...
No, I think that makes way more sense as a big cool collector's piece than the NES, the Lego NES.
Oh yeah, I love it. I'll be popping that one on.
Have you seen like because they did it? they did a video trailer. It's like a big question block, and then you push different parts of it, and little dioramas representing different Mario 64 levels. And there's four of them come out the top. But then have you seen like the secrets?
Yeah, it has like all like a lot of the references to the game and shit. Like they've got the penguins and
No, so you don't know the actual secret. That's awesome.
No.
Do you want me to tell you or no?
Where can I see this? I want to see it too.
You have to just look up Mario 64 Lego Bowser.
Oh, okay, tight.
So because there's a panel in the front of the Lego set that you pop open, and there's a Bowser in there.
Oh,
and you
sick.
Push down on the block that he was standing on, and it opens another panel, and it's a rotating platform that you put Mario and him on, and as if you're like spinning Bowser around and around.
That rules. Yeah, I'm looking at a video
and
now.
And there's also a bit that you can connect the Lego Mario like figure to, and it plays music from Mario 64.
Oh, sick. It's really good. I love this. This is kind of the set that you and I wanted more so when the play sets were announced. You know how we're kind of like, oh, it'd be cool if it was like more like a display
anything
thing.
Or play. Yeah, totally.
Because the thing with the sets, you can't really display them besides the figures.
No, it looks stupid. They're very fun to play with if you're a kid. It's pretty much all my kids do during these holidays is just set up different levels and see who can get the highest score.
Yeah, I'm really pumped. It looks awesome. And I like, I do love that it just folds up too, so you can just like keep it as a question mark block.
Yeah, it's funny that the set that they put inside a question block is for a game that doesn't have question blocks. Like, there's no question blocks in Mario 64.
It's also a game that you can't play on Switch, famously, anymore, legally.
Well, I reckon things that... Bro, are you serious?
I just blew my nose. It was either that or I was going to, like, eat.
You're crying. You're mourning the loss of Mario 64 in the eShop.
Yeah, just hit me.
you're like...
I saw the Peter Griffin
imagined. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You imagined a world without Peter Griffin if he wasn't smart enough to take the vaccine and died of COVID.
Mm.
If real life Peter Griffin can get COVID, surely not real life Peter Griffin can get it too.
Yeah, shit. I haven't thought about it that way.
I reckon they're going to announce 64 games, and that will tie into the Lego set somehow in Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd be more excited if it wasn't a day one feature of the Wii and Wii U, but...
Yeah, totally. And it's you know it's not going to have anywhere near as many games as the Wii had for 64.
Oh, God, no. And you know they're going to have, like, zero effort put into, like, how they perform and stuff. Yeah. But it's
anyway.
Just, like, I love... The Switch is amazing, but I think its success is its own worst enemy, I think, at this point.
Oh, it's kind of like, yeah, like the death throes of the Wii era as well.
Yeah.
I feel like those last few years, it was seldom... very many good games.
No, and it's like every third-party publisher at this point, despite the like hilarious day one commitment of, yeah, we're going to bring some games. They try, famously with the Switch, they don't fit on the Switch. You still have to download half of it or something stupid. So, you know, all those games trickle off. They're like, you know, a lot of general audiences lose interest because they want their, you know, AAA vibes on bigger consoles. And then it kind of just becomes relegated back to video game, like, enthusiasts.
Yeah,
or
like
casual
when they put Knights of the Old Republic on PlayStation 5, they'll probably announce, oh, and we're putting the original game on Switch.
Yeah, but
it's
the
same price.
You need to buy it and also download half of it.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's talk about, that was my like terrible segue into back into Star Wars, because Star Wars Visions, it aired last week, last night. And it is 9 episodes, all directed and created by different anime studios. So you have Trigger, who are the guys that used to be Gainax. So they worked on Evangelion and then did like Gridman, and what else did Trigger do? A bunch of other stuff. But they've done one, the Science Saru, who did Ride Your Wave and The Night Is Short, Walk On Girl. Which, by the way, did you watch the most recent Ted Lasso episode?
No, I'm about to.
Yeah, I'm curious to your thoughts on that. We'll save it for next week.
I know it's like a bottle episode. It's like, yeah, I know they did two.
Well, so they two extra ones, and one of them was the Christmas one, which was the other episode I didn't like very much. But I like this more than the Christmas episode, I think. Well, actually, I like most of the, I don't know. You know what? I'm enjoying Ted Lasso, and I'll leave it at that. But there's some moments where I'm like, these aren't as good as the good bits.
Yeah, the Christmas episode was weird when Santa flew over the top. I was like, come on.
That was fucking, what the hell?
Yeah.
This doesn't have a moment like that, so I think it makes it the episode better. But Star Wars Visions.
You've also got Studio Colorido.
Yep. What do they do?
Like Chinese cartoons.
Okay, right. Sure, cool, perfect. the production company that did Batman Ninja and the opening credits for a bunch of JoJo's Bizarre Adventures seasons. They did the first one, The Duel.
Yeah, that was
and,
sick.
And fuck me dead. That was such a good beginning to this series. Like, yeah.
What a great, perfect like drop-off point. I think that does all the heavy lifting for someone trying to explain Star Wars Visions to someone who doesn't really get Star Wars or anime or understands, like, or is not understands, but doesn't, like, know the history of Star Wars and George Lucas being infinitely inspired by Japanese works. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, watch this. And yeah, this totally does all the heavy lifting. But yeah, immediately from the get-go, you're just kind of told, fuck canon. This is like just fun stuff that, hey, maybe one day it'll be canon, maybe whatever, but just sit back and enjoy, you know, this interpretation of Star Wars, which, you know, something I've always loved. Pablo Hidalgo said, you know, one of the Star Wars, like, story leaders, and he's been part of Lucasfilm forever. He's always like, people will tweet him and be like, how come in this episode of Bad Batch it contradicts, like, there'll be a scene at the same setting in a comic and Bad Batch, but it's slightly different. And he's always said, oh, like, the movies are an interpretation of events as well. Like, everything you see in Star Wars is, I like to think of it as interpretation of events. And that to me is my favorite way to, like, assess Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, it's a story
that
happened.
I swear, though, if someone involved with the DC universe said that, you'd be like, can you fucking believe these idiots said this?
No. It's like, there's no canon because it's made up. You know what I mean? Like, I like that it's like, the movies are obviously like mainline, but it's just also like, their stories and just different people, you know, bring them to life. And I think that is the best way to, like, approach visions as well. It's like, yeah, maybe these did happen, but it's just, like, a story being told, you know?
Yeah. So, these were obviously made in Japan. The default way that they play when you select watching them on Disney Plus is with the English.
Well, this is where my tripe comes. You can watch them in Japanese, but there's no English subtitles. There's English
closed
translation
caption.
Closed caption. And if you watch more episodes, there are scenes where, like, no one's saying anything and it's timed to the English voice track. And even some of the lines are different. Like, the very little Japanese I know is contradicting what's being said on the screen. And it's annoying. You'll miss out on a lot of the animation because it'll be like droid whirs, man cooks. Like, it's really, really frustrating. There's a big, big kickback at the moment from idiots like who have even less things to worry about than you and I, who are like at Disney. Why aren't there English subs? Like,
no, I agree with it though.
Like, no, so do I. I'm really,
because I want to watch these with the Japanese voice track. Like the third one, the twins, which is the one made by Trigger.
The English, like, voice cast is garbage.
Yeah, as if I want to see. I think it's like Neil Patrick Harris and Alison Brie as a brother and sister.
I don't want that.
I am curious about watching like the second one, for example. Like, it has Boba Fett in it, and Tamara Morrison is his voice.
Well, look, I watched the first two both. At one point, I was like, I'm going to watch them all Japanese and English. Then that proved too much, so then I switched all to Japanese. So I have seen the first two in English, and yeah, it's cool seeing Tamara Morrison. The song is nowhere near as good in English.
That's what I mean. There's things that are like yeah, like the Japanese rock song that this, the second one is called Tatooine Rhapsody. It's kind of like, it's dumb, but it's,
oh man, I love that one.
Yeah, but it's fun. Like, you know, it reminds me of like a Cartoon Network style, like, anime.
Reminds me of like Interstellar 555 as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's a band playing, you know, their last song. To an audience of Jabba the Hutt.
How good is the Bib Fortuna character design as well?
Yeah, totally.
I
loved like all the bits when the music's playing. It just cuts to like Jabba the Hutt like wagging his tail in time to the music,
and Boba Fett
bopping along. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that one, and I love too that it's like a Padawan who ran away and became a singer, like a guy who gave up being a Jedi to be in a band. Like, I don't know. There's something really nice about that, and the fact there's a Hutt, who's someone we always associate with, like, you know, organized crime and stuff, being like, no, I want to play bass in a band.
Yeah, and there's no way that the lyrics that I was reading for...
Oh, dude, it sounds terrible.
For the Japanese song, because it's I was reading the closed caption for the English lyric. Oh, that makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
That's beyond frustrating.
It is really frustrating, because so far I love that, you know, we got equal time with the trailers and posters. Like, all the content they're putting out is bilingual, you know what I mean? Even the promo content, we're getting, like, Japanese posters, Japanese trailers. Yeah, it's super frustrating. Though, you know, like they did with the Simpsons aspect ratio, I reckon we will get this. It is annoying because I was trying to, like, watch it, and then I just kept getting, like, sound effects. And look, closed captions are great for people who need them. I think it's a great, you know, people who are deaf, it makes a lot of sense. You know, it has all the nuances, but also I just want subs sometimes. I don't want...
Yeah, no, of course I want subs.
Especially for something that's beautifully also animated, that every time someone's doing anything, which, you know, animated media is all the time, nothing's stagnant. It's constantly telling me what's happening and it's like covering up the screen.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Yeah, totally.
But let's... that's the frustration I had.
The twins one in particular, like, it is such a, like, it's very reminiscent of, like, you know, the most intense moments of Evangelion, where you have, you know, two characters screaming at each other while, you know, lasers shoot around them.
Mm.
And I just couldn't imagine the dub of that hitting that same... There's that level of anger and passion that I can accept in anime, but the idea of hearing the dub yelling is just like the cringiest thing. Even if it is, like, you know, by more experienced actors than your typical dub cast.
Yeah, still, it just makes me feel weird.
Yeah, totally. But now I'm kind of curious, because especially like the guy who plays the same character that Neil Patrick Harris plays, Ryoko Shirayashi, who plays... Oh, no, sorry, that was by... That's Junya Enoki. He's been in tons of anime that I really like. Like, most recently, he was one of my favorite characters in Beastars, and he was in tons of stuff that we like. Oh, he played Panacotto in JoJo's. Okay, sick. Awesome. He's been in so much good shit. Yeah, like, the idea of Neil Patrick Harris, like, yelling his head off about a crystal and saving... Yeah, like, I don't know. Anyway, you're right. Let's stop griping. Let's talk about...
Well, let's talk about the first four, since they're the only ones...
Yeah, so I've only watched the first four.
We can save the rest for next week.
The first one is The Duel. It was... It, like, you know, immediately the style of animation is not what I expected from this. Like, it is not like that immediately smooth, frenetic kind of animation.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like when you play Ghost of Tsushima with the Kurosawa filter, you know, you've got like a flicker. It's like, yeah, it very, very, it's the one that's easily the most reminiscent, like, visually, like
ink drawings
to Kurosawa's like work. So yeah, and ink drawings, like 3D ink drawings. It's gorgeous.
But it also utilizes like CGI, 3D CG, or as they call it in anime,
so well in
that one. Whereas I think the second one, didn't.
Yeah, there's, like, when you get that shot of Bunta Eve Raceway, it's kind of like just glaringly CG.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I thought was done super well.
Yeah, really well. The duel was just like, you know, like classic, you know, Ronin samurai kind of story, but with lightsabers instead of swords.
Yeah, how good's the umbrella? I mean, so fucking good.
Oh, man. So, like, yeah, you have, like, a Sith, like, lady is with a lightsaber that she inserts into, like, an attachment that has it, like, spin around like an umbrella. And she just, like, she hacks apart a bunch of people trying to protect the village.
How good were the guards? There was like a Doug, the race that Sebulba is, like, flying around in a probe droid head. Like, I love just seeing all that stuff, all the, like, yeah, it's just, man, it's so good for, like, just, yes, it's like pure Star Wars. And you can tell, like, I love the, like, Ouroboros nature of it, where, like, you know, George was obviously inspired by Japanese works, and now we're at the generation of Japanese works who are just so inspired by George Lucas and Star Wars, and it's just like this nice paying it forward.
Yeah, like you buy those like samurai influenced Star Wars figures, and this Kylo really felt like adjacent to that.
Totally. So this one's actually getting a book spin-off called Ronin, which someone, I guess an author, has watched it. It's like classified as like a Star Wars Visions novel, and they like go into the world of it, and they kind of this novel's taking the approach that the Ronin is actually ex-Sith, like a Sith Ronin, which is, and you kind of get that in this because they're like, oh, I'm not a Jedi, and he has the red blade, and yeah, he's kind of like, looks like kind of General Grievous vibes, where he's going around like hunting and collecting Sith's lightsaber crystals.
Yep.
But that was great. I loved it. I loved the fake out. I loved the waterfall, like all these great tropes. Fake out.
And like using the fact that it's all black and white, save for the red lightsaber and the Kyber crystals.
Like, and
it's,
like, the droids, so like lights and the blaster bolts.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so good.
That droid was amazing too.
We need to figure... All I could think while watching this is, holy shit, I'm going to be spending a lot of money on merch.
Yeah, and I hope the Japanese are allowed to go full, like...
Yeah, buck just, like, wild.
Wild with the merch. I want, like, gacha figures of every single character. Like, I hope every short gets its own line of merchandise.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was, like, an unbelievably strong start. I couldn't believe, like, what a way to kick that series off.
They never drag. I find it's just, like, each episode so far is, like, the perfect length. Some are longer, some are shorter, but I'm just like, yeah, this rules.
I think the shortest is 13 minutes and the longest is maybe 20, 22 or 3 minutes. So none of them are a particularly, like, you know, huge time commitment. And I imagine, like, yeah, if I... B was the sane person saying that we should go to bed at 10:30 last night. But I'll probably watch the rest of it all in one hit, maybe tonight or at some point over the weekend.
Tight.
But yeah, so the second one is the band one. What's it called?
Tatooine Rhapsody.
Brilliant name.
So good. The band Starwaver. Like, yeah, we've had snippets of bands in Star Wars. There's obviously the Cantina band. There's the Max Rebo band. I do like that there's some diegetic music in Star Wars. And
yes, totally.
It was just cool to see. I don't know. I love that. It's like, it reminds me of, some, you know, a lot of people find those bits goofy. You know, the good thing with Star Wars is like what you find goofy is someone else's favorite thing about Star Wars. It's so vast now. Yes. And yeah, I don't know, man. I love that one. Even from the animation, even from the trailers, I was like, I'm really going to love this. It just taps into that goofy, feel good pop punk.
Yeah, totally. J-Rock shit. It was awesome. I loved that, like, yeah, the big slug's bass guitar was also a flamethrower.
Yeah,
and like all of their instruments were based on weapons.
Yeah, and I love that his lightsaber was a microphone, and you're like, oh, he's gonna whip it out. And no, he's a singer now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that was a real fun time.
I really do want a figure of Guy the Hutt, the bassist with the nose piercing. Yes, definitely. Yeah, what a king.
Then there was The Twins.
Oh, so good.
Directed by Hiroyuki Imeishi, who started Studio Trigger. Again, he's worked on the original Evangelion series and so much else.
Gridman.
But do we want a full list of all his shit or not?
No, I don't.
Look, you got Wikipedia. You can Google his shit. So much shit that I know I should watch in my life, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Studio Trigger have done two shorts, and I know that I kind of seen a lot of takes on Twitter saying the two best shorts of the nine are The Duel, which I've already talked about, and then the other Trigger short, which is called The Elder. Do you agree with that?
No.
No, cool. Interesting.
Mm.
What are your two favorites?
Well, I don't know. Does it have to be two?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's such a good, beautiful, like, way to look at it.
I really like The Ninth Jedi, Village Bride, and Twins, maybe. Oh, I really like...
Yeah. I love... The Twins was so fucking fun.
Twins like, is just great. From the, it's like this alternate Luke Leia type of situation, the double Star Destroyer. Interestingly enough, it referenced The Rise of Skywalker, speaking of maligned products in famous franchises, with the... The like
the coolest moment.
The Sith Acolytes. No, the Rise of Skywalker. No.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I thought you meant Last Jedi.
When the twins were discussing like how they were made, it was like Exegol and like the Sith Acolytes were those people like the wrapped faces and the hoods. They're the people we see like making Snokes and stuff like that at the start of Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. So it is cool. Again, some people's less favorite Star Wars. That's another good thing with Star Wars. If there's something you don't like, they eventually try to justify it with canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
You know, I love this. Just the like fucking robot outfits that were more like mechs than like suits. You know, powered by crystals and yeah, it was great. Like an inverse Luke.
Her weapon was insane. Her weapon was crazy.
General Grievous whips or something.
Yeah, like a cross between General Grievous and who was the villain from Iron Man 2? Whiplash.
Whiplash, yeah. Burt.
And like I loved how that just it started quite slowly. Like there was a lot of dialogue and that was when the closed captions were the most awkward, I think, of the four episodes I watched. The beginning of The Twins was really affected. Mm. But man, I'm sure a great deal better than hearing Neil Patrick Harris deliver it.
Going, I'm going to kill you.
probably singing it.
Yeah.
But then, then it just didn't let up from that point. Like once the action started, it was just like it was so frantic and there was just such an urgency to every move. And I loved like the pain in like, you know, it's like a classic, like pained anime yelling,
The Holdo maneuver, all that great shit.
That was so fucking fun. And I like the way he overcharges his lightsaber and then puts the hyperdrive on and just slices through that double Star Destroyer.
Dude, it ruled.
And God, I would love, I hope we get a poster or something like that of that shot because it was so good.
Yeah, I love, that was such a good episode. I loved how he like lands on Tatooine at the end and it's kind of like, all of these feel like really strong pilots as well. You know, I really hope there's a continuation. Like The Duel is like, you know, it ends with this Ronin and I guess he wanders town to town, righting his wrongs, and The Twins ends with, you know, the inverse of Luke being like, I'm going to find her after crash landing in a X-Wing on Tatooine. It's like this really nice remix of A New Hope.
Yes, totally.
And I'm
true.
Like, cool, I yeah. want to see what happens next. You know what I mean? Like, each one, I mean, obviously, Tatooine Rhapsody is very standalone, but those two in particular, I feel like, you know, there's at least half of them do feel like very strong pilots.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And then finally, there was, for me at least, you kept watching, but the final episode I watched last night was The Village Bride.
I love that
which
one.
Which has been made. Yeah, been made by a studio called Kinema Citrus.
Mm.
They made
Orange Juice,
Barakamon, Made in Abyss. They worked on that one. I don't know many of the things they've done. Oh, of course, they made Card Fight, Vanguard, Overdress.
Oh, cool.
but they did this quite beautiful one about like. A girl who's been forced to be, I guess, given to an evil planet. Who are those guys, the invaders?
Look, I'll take this one. Yeah, so it's like set between you know, the end of the Clone Wars and the start of the Empire. It's kind of set in the dark.
Oh,
the
I
dark
knew that. Times. Obviously, I knew that.
No, but you know, it's kind of like some bandits who took advantage of like ex battle droids or whatever. They reprogrammed them and were just like, in, you know, being pricks to a beautiful, peaceful planet. And there was kind of, I guess, a Padawan who never finished her training. We saw the braid. She cuts it off, and kind of a guide who takes her there. It reminded me a bit of Princess Mononoke a lot with the relationship to the nature. I really love this one. This is one of my favorites. I loved the look. I loved the outfits. I loved her high heels. I don't know. It was awesome. It was, again, this felt like all of them, I just wanted more. But yeah,
totally.
I loved that she wore this mask and was kind of like a disgrace. She was kind of embarrassed to be a Padawan, but she was with a, I don't know if he was a Jedi or what, but he was kind of with, he was, she was with a guide who was like, you know, into taking into the culture and stuff like that. And yeah, I thought it was lovely. I love the music. Yeah. I love the acting. I loved the look of it.
The music was by an Australian guy, Kevin Penkin.
Yeah, I saw that. And the vocalist is from the Nier games.
Yeah, that's right. But do you know what, Kevin Penkin, so he's made he did a lot of stuff for Made in Abyss, but he's also done a lot of video game soundtracks for Australian games like Necro Barista, and a game that we both loved. He did the music for Florence.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But the soundtrack was awesome. It was really good for that. I loved, my favorite bit in that short was when the like, I don't know, the old guy who had like the helmet.
Yeah, when he turns it to like a bomb.
Took the helmet off and then like threw it, and then it rockets into the bad guy's ship,
so
and
good.
Then blows the ship up, and then all the clones like collapse.
The droids.
That was fucking droids. Yeah, sorry.
I love that. Yeah, that was tight.
Sorry for not knowing any of this shit.
No, it's cool. It's like, I like to see what you do know, and then I don't judge you for it. It's nice.
Sure, you don't. Sure.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
it's a lot to take in.
But man. I was annoyed that of the first four episodes, none of them were the Science Saru ones, because B was watching with me and she loves them as well. But I guess we'll get to watch both of those.
I really like both of them.
In our next watch. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
I'm
looking at the list now and I'm just like, I really wish, I wish I could watch them again for the first time.
How about in English?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to rewatch. I might watch them in English again, though. I don't know. Parts of it, I'm just like you said, the twins, it just feels unimaginable in English.
Yep.
But yeah, I would love to get real subtitles. After the episodes dropped, this wasn't at the same time, but there is like a 6 to 8 minute making of each one now in the extras.
Oh, really?
On Disney Plus. So I'm going to watch
those.
Is
it out already?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
If you just scroll over
for each
the
one,
extras.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch that.
That's
today.
That's great. Mm. Oh, I'm kind of curious about what the first Science Saru one, the one that's called TOB1.
I love that
because,
one.
Because, well, Kyle Chandler plays...
yeah, I saw
he
that.
Plays,
he
plays
the professor.
The main, that's appealing.
Yeah. I really like that one. The animation is gorgeous.
What about the... is it called Lop and Ocho, the one with
the
bunnies?
I love that one too. I mean, I love them all, but that seemed like another pilot.
Do you think... do you think Tilly would like that?
Do
the bunnies die?
They're enslaved, but you know, maybe it was a choice. There's a character wearing a red hat. He's in the, yeah, it's, right. It's the okay, lead singer sure. of Star Wafer. He shows up in it. He has a Make Tatooine Great hat again.
Oh, no wonder you liked that one so much. It was a band performing in a stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Even better though, if their band wasn't performing, they were just playing their like one of the many versions of their album.
Exactly. Yeah. He shows up with a red hat that says "Make Tatooine Great Again," and he's like, yeah, "Actually, did you ever think that maybe these bunnies was a choice to get enslaved?"
And then the Star Wars equivalent of DaBaby and Marilyn Manson are there in the background.
Yeah, he's just standing.
Watching.
Yeah. He recreated the Skywalker homestead in a huge stadium. He's just sitting on it.
The biggest takeaway for me, like obviously just enjoying it on a pure level of entertainment as I watch each of them, but also I just can't help but think like, fuck, I wish like What If wasn't the same
animation
the whole way through. Like they put so much effort into like making sure so many of the original voice cast were there. Although the ones who aren't there are bizarre. Like Brie Larson isn't even, like...
She's too busy gaming.
Yeah, of course. I should have realized. Like, but I understand why. Like, Scarlett's not there. Robert Downey Jr. is not there. Like, those guys aren't those characters anymore. You know, their contracts are pretty much done. And, but Brie Larson's gonna have like a bunch more Captain Marvel movies, right?
Well, if you could fucking get that switch out of her hands.
That she's playing Animal Crossing in every scene of Captain Marvel too.
They've had to change in the script that she's like gamer now.
her final blow against that bad guy is with the Ring Fit controller.
I mean, look, this from the moment this was announced, I was just like, this almost feels too good to be true. But it just lives up to exactly what it threatened to be for me. It is this perfect Venn diagram of Star Wars and anime where I'm like lying in the middle, being bukkake'd on by both. You know, it's it's awesome. The only problem is that I want more. And I would have been upset if they were dropping weekly, and I would have been upset if they weren't dropping weekly. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I really want more. Yesterday was one of the best days of this year for me, which I mean is a testament to us being on like our fourth month of lockdown. But you know what? If we weren't, I would still imagine it would be.
Absolutely, man.
I think it's great. This is just like it's when Star Wars kills it, it fucking kills it, and this feels like that.
Do you want to be sad? If there wasn't lockdown right now, you and I would have watched all of these together.
That would have been so good. I would have loved that. But it was awesome. I had so much fun. I'm just like, I love that. For me, it's like, you know, Star Wars has been accused of post Last Jedi, Lucasfilm under like Disney's tenure of being like quite safe. Mandalorian, I would say, is not as safe as some might say it is. There are parts where it's, you know, not safe. But this was just like, oh yeah, this tapped into that Last Jedi type of vibe where it was like, we want you for your vision. And, well, yeah, it's called vision, but we want you for your storytelling and your take. We don't want you to, like, feel you should fit a mold of what we want. It just felt like the complete opposite of the Rise of Skywalker feelings that I had, you know?
Yeah, and to compare it to What If again, like the difference in our language when talking about these, you say of each of these, they could be a pilot versus me saying of all the What If episodes, these feel like pilots.
Yeah,
it's and such it's different.
Where like these all could be pilots for 9 awesome shows. You know what I mean?
But they also work so well as these beautiful standalone things that we might never get to revisit again.
I hope we do. I don't want to say too much, but what I love about the Ninth Jedi, it's set like hundreds, maybe thousands of years, or maybe 1,000 after the Rise of Skywalker. It's the most futuristic Star Wars story we've got.
Cool.
And it's kind of fun. Like Jedi don't exist anymore. They're kind of legends again. And yeah, it feels again like I'm like, I really would love a feature length movie of this one. See if you get the same feeling.
I have to admit, I was a little disappointed when the Ronin book coming out was just a book and not a manga series.
Yeah. I have pre-ordered so it though. Sick. I'm very excited to read that. That looks tight.
Yeah, awesome.
But no, I really like the world of the Ninth Jedi. And I'm like, give me the movie now. I already really like the characters. I for the first time, everything felt new to Star Wars, like that I haven't felt since, well, really ever. I mean, even like sequel trilogy, you know, there's a lot of allusions to what came before. There's a lot of, you know, like she's in AT-AT, there's X-Wings, like there's a lot of allusions to the trilogy, like in universe, because it was only like 30 years prior. This is so far removed that it just didn't, there was no allusions to Empire, Rebels.
Well, there's cute little nods to references, like, you know, a lot.
Oh,
like,
I mean, the Ninth Jedi in particular. Like,
oh, Ninth Jedi?
Saying,
oh, okay, right. Yeah, cool.
It's set so far, like, away from that. There aren't references to what we've seen before. So it's like all new ships, all new, you know, no stormtroopers, no this, no that. It's just like, oh, cool, this feels fresh. And I would want a feature film now based on that, or a series.
Yeah, mad. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to watching all of them.
Oh, one thing I love too. One of the characters have very average names.
Keep it up, King. I love it.
There's one called like Dan, someone called Ethan. Like as you watch, there's just like Jedi with really average names. And I really like that. I think we need to normalize that.
Yep. So, one of my favorite voice actors, it does the... Dean Venture from the Venture Brothers is the voice of Hen Jin from the Ninth Jedi on the English dub. So maybe I will watch that. In fact, the guy who plays Rusty Venture, what's his name? James Urbaniak. Mm. He showed up in the first episode of season 2 of The Morning Show this week, which was just run on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for half an hour of that episode, no one used an Apple product, and I forgot I was watching Apple TV for a minute.
Were they all villains? Dropped, like,
yeah, they were all pedophiles. Cool. So no one used. They all used Androids. Look, if you've enjoyed Angus talking very positively about Star Wars and love it when we talk positively about stuff at length,
next
you
week,
should
baby.
Definitely. Well, no, next week, yeah, for sure, we're going to go through the rest of Star Wars Visions. But right now, we're about to do PayFam, and this week's PayFam is all about... It's the first of our... we've got two potential names for it, the Weekly Wachowski Watch Along or Wachowski Pod. So you can help us decide what we're going to call it week on, week off. We're going through every Wachowski movie, Wachowski Sisters movie, in the lead up to Matrix 4 coming out. And so we start with Bound, which is their 1996 debut with Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon and Joe Pantoliano.
More like Jennifer Titty, am I right?
You can expect beautiful, positive takes like that in the episode. But we were blown away by how much we loved this movie.
Mm.
And if you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. It's on Stan in Australia and I think Hulu in the States. And then maybe a sneaky little link in PayFam if you look around in the Discord. But come and join us. We're talking about every Wachowski movie before the fourth Matrix movie comes out at the end of the year. And there's a lot of things I'm excited to watch.
I'm watching The Matrix tonight.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. That's going to be a great night. But Bound, I'd never seen it before. Angus had never seen it before. And we both absolutely loved it. So
yeah.
Come and join us for a discussion
over
at patreon.com.
We both chose the same MVP too. So you'll have to listen to find out who it is.
Yes, very true. And you can hear it at patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month gets you an extra episode of HeyFam every single week. It's called PayFam. It's an hour long. And this week's episode
an extra episode
extra good.
Countless friends in the Discord.
That's right. Patreon.com/HeyFam.
We have a Star Wars Vision spoiler thread at the moment, which is absolutely popping off.
Yep.
You know, everyone is flexing their weebness in there. You love to see it.
Yep. And there's no better place to be disappointed by tomorrow's Nintendo Direct than in the video games channel in the PayFam Discord.
If you are
so come
at risk, we suggest you join this and you also can experience disappointment. You won't be thinking, is it just me who isn't into this, the third re-release of Pikmin 2? No, it's...
It's not come and join us at Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyFam. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and we'll see you next week. Enjoy your morning.
Au revoir.
Hey! Bam! Bam! Bam!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.